Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to discuss inflation and the different gauges that capture the various trends. Inflation has been a hot topic on everyone's mind, including the Federal Reserve's lately. The Federal Reserve's, one of their mandates is to keep inflation, price stability, it's called. And so to do that, they've been raising interest rates, which has also been impacting a lot in the markets. And so I'm going to talk about that. You can also reference my blog post on this topic, where you'll find a lot of the graphs that I'll discuss today, which will help put the inflation in context, both not only with history, but also a bit more detail in the past 10 years and various indicators. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So before I jump into the different gauges and the historic context, we'll just talk about inflation in general. It has been high the last couple of years, I guess starting in early 2021. But also to recognize that inflation, the impact of inflation can kind of cut both ways. So the negative side first, because that's what most people think of inflation on the negative connotation. We're all seeing it. You go to the grocery store and you're paying a lot more in grocery bills. Those of you who are renting, your housing rental is going up. Go out on vacation, hotel rooms seem to be going through the roof. A night out in the restaurants, just expenses going up very high. And the Federal Reserve, who has a mandate, dual mandate, one is for achieving price stability, i.e. keeping inflation down, and then also full employment. So they're reacting to this high inflation, and their reaction has been to raise interest rates, to help things slow down. The higher the cost of financing would slow down activity. So they went from, used to be a range, they still have a range, but it was zero to a quarter of a point. And then starting in March of 2022, a bit later than people thought they should have, but starting in March of 2022, they started raising rates quite aggressively. And the last hike, they're now at the 5.25 to 5.5 range. So a very large move in a short time period. So another negative connotation as they're raising rates for consumers, that directly impacts borrowing costs for credit cards, and people who have home equity lines of credit are seeing that direct high cost of financing. And then indirectly, again, the Fed doesn't control the long end of the curve, 10-year, 30-year stuff, but what they do and inflation impacts that side of the market. So those in search of a mortgage rate lately, as you know, they are sky high. So currently in that 7.5% zip code on August 21st here when I'm recording. So those are the negative impacts of inflation. But there also can be positive effects, as strange as that may sound, because of this higher interest rate environment, a couple of positive things. One, people who have cash savings can actually earn a reasonable interest rate on those savings. And so, again, go back, early 2021, even later than that, you weren't earning anything on cash savings at banks or even money markets. Nowadays, you can get, T-bills are currently cranking out 5.4, even higher, 5.44 as I look at the screen here, on three-month T-bills. Money market funds are paying in the high fours. Banks aren't going to be paying that high, but hopefully they should be in the threes, I would hope, at this point. But pretty easy to get 4 to 5+% range on cash earnings. So that's a positive. Those Social Security recipients, you may remember very well the 2023 inflation adjustment was 8.7%, a very, very large bump that, again, directly related to CPI, which I'm going to talk about later. And then I think 2023 was a year that everybody, they've been around for a long time, but everybody learned about I-bonds because one of the prints, again, they reset to actual inflation readings. Every 6 months, they reset the rate, but there was a point where it got as high as 9.62% for a given six-month window. So it gets the attention of a lot of people. And so those are some of the positive impacts of high inflation. Just as an FYI, the current I-bond rate, it was set on May 1st, is down to 4.3%. But it's actually attractive, more attractive than previous ones, in my opinion, because you get a fixed rate, but I digress. So now let's talk about inflation and the different gauges. So the first thing most people know when they hear of inflation, they think of CPI, so the Consumer Price Index. They publish it every month. Usually it's the 10th to 12th of the month. They publish, headline CPI, went up, 3% or 4% or 6%. And then in addition to that, doesn't get as much media attention, but they also publish a core CPI, which is the CPI reading, but they exclude food and energy from the components. A lot of people say, well, why are they doing that? I consume food, I consume energy. The reason for it is those are two more volatile components, and so economists and the Federal Reserve like to track the core rate so they can get a gauge of a better, more reliable indicator of where the direction of inflation is going. They've expanded that recently, which I'll get into, but historically it's kind of the headline CPI and then the core. On my graph, I guess it says latest readings, and so CPI was out, I think it was August 10th. So the latest headline CPI number is at 3.2% right now. It's actually a tick up from where it was the month prior. And the core CPI is actually much higher. It's at 4.7%. So on my website, I've got a graph. I first go back to 1965, kind of biased that year. That's the year I was born. So going back that far, but my intent of grabbing that then was to show inflation was very high in the 70s and early 80s. And so just so you can see the current inflation environment and how that compares to the really, really high rates of the 70s. Not that high, but surprisingly, it definitely jumps out at you when you look at the graph. So I show that in context, but also looking at that longer history, you can see inflation has been quite stable, quite low, probably even starting in the kind of mid-90s and beyond. So a lot of people in the investing world have never experienced high inflation. So this is something new for a lot of investors and market participants. So it also reminds you how low and stable it had been, which was actually quite abnormal as well, in my opinion. I then take that same graph and I drill down just to the past 10 years. And that's what the rest of my graphs on my blog post and my discussions today, focusing on just the past 10 years. So long enough of a history to see the context, but a bit more granular so you can see some of the moves going on. So, if you look at a 10-year graph, headline and core, it's like, well, we're fine for a while. All of a sudden, we have this huge spike up. So that's why I wanted to show that longer history for context. The next topic has to do with what does the Federal Reserve look at and what do they care about? And so, again, consumers, CPI, that's what everybody knows and loves. But the Federal Reserve actually uses an alternative gauge. It's called the Personal Consumer Expenditure Index, PCE. That comes out as part of the income and expense report toward the end of the month. So we have not received the July reading yet for this reading. And in general, the CPI is more geared toward, it's a more narrower definition, focus on consumers, urban consumers specifically, whereas the PCI, it's a broader measure. It captures both urban and rural consumers, doesn't have nearly the highest weight of housing and shelter that CPI does, and it does capture some business expenses. So the Fed likes it. It's more broader gauge, in their opinion. So I show a graph of that. And again, just for comparison, because most people probably never have seen the PCE graph or index. And so in general, it runs a bit lower than the CPI number. On the website, I show I use core numbers because that's what the Fed has been focusing on. They've got a super core, which I'll talk about. But so the core PCE has been running, call it 0.5% lower than this core CPI number. And it's a bit sticky too. Looking at the inflation has been coming down. Back to the CPI headline number. Got as high as up in the nine and change. Let's call it back in mid 2022, and then it's been coming down quite a bit. But it also had a very high peak. So people get excited about that on the headline number. But the core numbers, both CPI and PCE, which I'm talking about here, have been coming down, but not as fast as the CPI. So it's definitely a trend worth watching to see if that trend will continue at the core level. The other thing you may hear that the Federal Reserve is working toward a 2% inflation target, and they are. That's what they said. Some economists are wonder if they're in fact will ever get that far, you know, down that low. But definitely with a two handle, i.e. 2-point-something% inflation, they'll be shooting for. So we're quite a ways away from that. But when they do reference that 2% target, it is relative to the PCE index. And so if you're looking at CPI, I think, wow, we got a ways to go. And we do, by the way, but it is on the slightly lower PCE index. So that's what the Fed is after. So yes, inflation is coming down, gauges are coming down, but they want to get it all the way down to 2%. And so there's a quite a distance to go to get that far. The other thing to note is I mentioned the super core. So in addition to having their stripping out food and energy, the Federal Reserve recently has been talking about that index also excluding housing, because there's been some big swings in the housing indicators and implied rental income. I'm not an expert on it, so I'm not even going to attempt to describe it. But nonetheless, the Fed is also looking at this super core PCE index, which also excludes housing. And that has not been decreasing as much either. And so again, the big question in the market right now is inflation really coming down that strongly, or are there some sticky components that will not play out in the next few months? And so that's what the market is watching. The other thing, another gauge that you can break apart the CPI overall is breaking it up into goods and services. Right now, the U.S. economy is very dominated by the services sector. I think it's about, I'm going to say it's in the 66-67% of the GDP is services related. But with the last few years and, supply chain disruptions and COVID, part of this, many drivers to high inflation, not to mention the huge debt load we have, the huge spending packages, it's just pumping a lot of money in the system, which is causing inflation. But we also had some disruptions with supply chains, and so the cost of goods side really jumped up even much earlier than the services component. So on my website, I show the overall CPI headline number, and then I show the goods component and the services component. First time I saw this graph about a year ago, I was surprised at how much lower the goods inflation was, just even the last 10 years. It's always been running lower. Part of it, I think, was the globalization push and being able to import goods from across the world in lower cost areas kept that down. Well, that got flipped around quite violently when COVID hit. So huge spike in the goods inflation indicator. Yes, services went up as well, but a bit later. And then now the goods inflation number collapsing back down quite a bit again. But again, the services being a bit more sticky. So looking underneath the headline numbers, for what's going on, this goods versus services is another indicator to look at. Again, the services much higher now and staying a bit stickier. Stickier meaning it's not falling as fast. And the other thing too, which is going to segue into my next topic, is wages. And so on the services side, a big component of that cost index is the people doing the services, and so therefore the wages. And so that is a component. The jobs market is quite hot, and so our wages going to stay high and keep inflation higher. That's the question. So that's a nice segue into my next topic. I think this is my last graph. Yeah, last graph, and that is on wage growth. So again, have a graph to help tell the story. I show this particular one I found shows the average hourly earnings over the past 10 years next to core CPI. Again, it bounced around a lot around once COVID hit, as you can imagine, but it's starting to settle back into a pattern here. But again, it's still quite high. I'm just looking at the eyeballing it here. Let's call it 5% zip code of wage growth. People talk about inflation coming down and hey, we're out of the woods and inflation is going to keep on dropping. Well, wages are a big part of that inflation component. And with the hot jobs market, that's not coming down. So that is something, the push and pull of things here is to see what happens if the jobs market doesn't slow down very much. The Fed's going to have to keep definitely keeping rates where they're at longer, but also possibly raising them one more time to help make sure that the inflation doesn't get out of control. So that was an interesting component to keep in mind when you think about inflation. So again, kind of the summary or wrapping it up on the bringing it all together, you know, we do have the, you know, what is the Federal Reserve going to do? You know, at the start of this podcast, I was talking about, yes, inflation is coming, so the Federal Reserve is raising rates, but that impacts a lot of things, mortgage rates, home equity lines of credit. Yes, it pays the cash savers an interest rate right now, pays the Social Security recipients a bit more money, but they have to receive that to keep up with the cost of goods. And so it's a big focus of the market right now, and a lot of different opinions of what's going to happen. So watch the trend. You know, if the inflation numbers continue to come out, yes, they may continue to drop, but they're well above 2% and staying up there. So if they're not dropping as fast as the market is expecting, then that implies that the Federal Reserve is going to have to definitely keep rates here higher for longer, which I think they will, but they may even have to raise rates one more time. So something to watch. We do have, so I'm recording this on Monday, the 21st of August. The Jackson Hole Economic Symposium starts on Thursday, actually, but on Friday, Fed Chair Powell is going to be speaking. So the markets definitely will be watching that to see what he has to say about you know, just inflation in general, but also interest rates. You know, the long end of the curve, the 10s and 30-year rates have been just moving quite substantially throughout the month of August here. And so markets are watching that very closely to see what happens. And then finally, I did mention early in the podcast here, 2023 Social Security COLA adjustment was this whopping 8.7%. It's definitely going to be much lower in 2024, but you know how much lower? We don't know yet. But we did get the first reading, the July CPI print. That gauge actually uses CPIW. Look for an upcoming blog post and podcast on that topic. October is when we get the final number. But anyway, the first number is out. They take the average of July, August, and September readings compared to last year's three-month average, and then that is the COLA adjustment. So depending upon what inflation does the next 2 months here, expect it to be in that 3% area. Again, give or take, we don't know exactly. It's only 1 month, but think 3% zip code, not 8% zip code for that inflation adjustment for COLA. So in summary, you know, headline inflation is coming down. People are excited about it, but there's a lot of numbers underneath it. So look at those alternative indicators and get a sense of really, you know, how much is coming down, especially in the wages and the services component. And even as they come down, just remember that there is a 2% Fed target. So levels remain quite elevated relative to that target. And then finally, I guess as I wrap up the topic with what's been going on right now, one of the things that's not coming down so much are gas prices. So as those people who are, you know, back to school trips, taking their kids off to college maybe, last thing on their mind right now, both parents and students, are probably gas prices. So enjoy that exciting time and good luck to the students out there. All right, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.